Definitely good to see so many out this morning, and we know we have some traveling and still under the weather. Before I forget, I want to make a few announcements that I mentioned last week. They want to meet for a few minutes after worship, so I'll do my best, my very best, to stop a little early. Now, some people don't believe I can do it, Matt, but I'm going to do my best, stop a little early, and just pass out some things, just kind of lay out a plan. We met with had a wonderful business meeting last week to go through things with the congregation. I know we have some that aren't here, and I'll fill them in as we go, because it'll be the first of hopefully two meetings that we'll have to kind of address some things about what we want to do. Also, keep Brother Will in your prayers. He's really not doing well at all. I went to see him. Brother Brandon and I went to see him this week, and it's a nursing home Thursday, and that didn't work out, and they rushed him back to the hospital last night. But he's really dealing with some things and struggling with the loss of both his legs and some other, a lot of other things. He's in bad shape, so keep him in your prayers. Also, keep Sister Penny in your prayers as she made it to Tallahassee, Florida, and her sister-in-law, they've given less than 3 months to live. So they pretty much stopped treatment on cancer, so with that. Again, on a more positive note, Sister Jean's granddaughter is a great swimmer. She had to teach me how to swim because I use the rock method. I go straight to the bottom. But she had a great meet. She won 4 medals in the regionals and qualified for the state. And also keep Brother Brandon Park in your prayers as he's headed back to the great state of Mississippi to train a little bit for a few weeks. So he's on the way en route now, as a matter of fact. So he should be just about halfway there if they left when they said they were leaving this morning. Subject, touched by the Master. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Now, as we're getting here, I'm still in a series. I hadn't finished my series out of Hebrews 6, but sometimes in studying on your own, stuff just pops out at you. And sometimes when it pops out at you, I've learned and been at this long enough to know that maybe, just maybe, somebody needs to hear a lesson. Touched by the Master in dealing with the loving hand of Jesus. Luke chapter 4, we'll begin with verse number 36. Luke chapter 4, we'll begin with verse 36. And it reads as such. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogues, and he entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her, and rebuked the fever, and they left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. Touched by the Master. Let's look at some of man's definition of the word touch. These are a few of them. To bring about contact in order to understand or feel. To contact in order to join or to be in close proximity. To equate in quality or value. To make contact in order to relate to or to sympathize with. When you think about touched by the Master, you ask the question. And understand that we are wonderfully made. And in doing a little bit of research for here, our skin is the largest organ on our body. You ever realize your skin is an organ? And it performs, I know it's great, and I know it does great things as far as protecting our inner organs, but it's an organ of itself. Our body's skin consists of over 5 million touch receptors. There are over 3,000 touch receptors in each finger. Think about that. Now, one finger has over 3,000 touch receptors. That must mean that God designed us to be able to touch and to feel. God intended for us both to to receive and to give out touches. But it's not always easy for this reason. Who hurt you? You know, one of the things that we find out in those who work, well, any capacity, but when you really work with young people, you'll really realize some things. All touching they experienced hadn't been good and positive. The last statistic I showed that maybe those who even reported, there were well over 60% of the young women between the ages of birth and 18 that had been touched inappropriately. I had to deal with a situation this week with a young man, and he was not having a good day, and told him he was going to call his parents, which is what I normally do if I have to see him in those capacities, and he just went to pieces. He said, Mr. Parker, you don't understand. It's bad for me. I was like, it's bad for everybody that gets in trouble. So now it's bad for me. He says, you don't realize I get hit in the face with a belt. I get made. I get punched in the stomach, in the eye, by everybody in the house. Now I'm a firm believer in discipline, but that's a big difference. How do you reach out to somebody like that? How do you kind of get close to them? Because sometimes when you get close to them, it kind of clenches up. And we do the same thing. And you may not clench up physically, but you can sure clench up emotionally and mentally. Because guess what? Hurt comes in many forms and fashions. Sometimes the worst hurt we have experienced is because of a word that somebody said to us. Think about that for a moment. Those in this category really struggle with touching. Oftentimes, hurt comes by touching. We're hurt and touched by physical assaults, hurtful words, gossip, and you name it. So who hurt us? When you think about the example in Luke chapter 4, it says they came to him with all kind of illnesses. And if you notice there, that some of those illnesses were not physical. Because in the next verse, next few verses, we read that some of them were possessed by demons. Now we know that the possession of demons has gone way, way, way down. It was definitely prominent because Jesus did a lot with it. Since God gave us the indwelling measure of the Holy Spirit, it's a constraining measure. But what about what demons are you fighting? What demons are you dealing with? That oftentimes even makes it hard for God to touch us as well. See, one of the things that we have to understand is that there's a lot of hurt in this world. If you don't believe it, just open not your physical eye, your spiritual eyes, and you'll be able to see things from a different point of view. So the question is, when you struggle with touching, who hurt you? What happened? You may say, well, Brother Parker, I don't want to live it, but we have to think about that so that we can begin a healing process ourselves. Why did Jesus touch? Now, if you notice and you're a good student, Bible student, you'll realize in many situations that all Jesus did was speak the word and they were healed, right? We read it already in Luke chapter 4 when he stood over Peter's mother-in-law and rebuked the illness was in her, and immediately she got up and walked. It didn't say he touched her, we don't know, but sticking to scripture could have easily said it because the next verse he says many sought him out. But notice this point. He says he touched every last one of them. Sometimes we need a personal touch from Jesus. Sometimes that's exactly what we need. He can reach places nobody else can. Can you imagine those who were possessed by demons at this point in time? And people said they were out of their minds. And people ran away from them. Oh, in Mark chapter 5, people tied them with tethers and made them live in the graveyard where no sane person would do by himself. And when they turned a deaf ear to his cries, and he wailed all night and day until he met Jesus. See, we miss a point here. There's so much more involved in a relationship with Christ. There's so much more involved in being a member of his body. There's so much more involved in just having a chance to worship and commune with him, with the Lord's Supper and singing and giving and praying, all the other things that he requires in worship. Have you allowed him to touch your life? And if not, why not? Because he's in the touching business. He wants to be personal and intimate with us. And we know sometimes those folks who are close to us, sometimes all you need is a touch from somebody who loves you. For example, if you're a grandparent, you don't realize sometimes just a warm touch from grandma or granddaddy makes all the difference in the world, coming from a grandma's baby themselves. Loved ones, spouses, sometimes just coming home to a warm touch makes it all better when you had a hard day at work. Sometimes a loving brother or sister in Christ can give you a hug and tell you that it's going to be all right. It makes all the difference in the world. God made this thing called Christianity a touching organization. He made it a personal organization. He made it intimate so that we could share, as we get to the end of my lesson, before I get ahead of myself, what God has truly done for us. He sheds his mercy and compassion on us, and we allow him to touch the very core of our souls. What about us today? So Jesus did these things. He didn't have to. Jesus could have done for the same crowd. He could have said, all y'all be here and go on about your business. But here we have Christ taking the time and care to lay hands physically and touch every last one of them. And we get the picture here. It wasn't just two or three. There's a whole crowd of folks. Why did he take time to do that? He didn't have to. Jesus was a busy man while he was on this earth. Matter of fact, he was trying to get away in verses 41 and 42 to rest a little bit. But they begged him to stay, and he stayed a little bit longer. Have you been touched by the Master? What are some of the benefits of touching? Oftentimes, the right touch can help you relieve anxiety. Philippians 4 talks about this when it says, be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the result is, you'll experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. You're anxious in life? Touch from the Master, make it all better. You're worried about some things in your life? Touch from the Master, I'll make it all better. His hands are out today, spiritually speaking, on the touch, the parts, and calm your anxious soul. Sometimes a simple hug from a loved one helps you calm all your inner storms. Another benefit of touching, touching heals broken hearts. Spiritually, mentally, and physically. Same chapter of Luke, I think, if I'm correct. Yes. Same chapter of Luke. Let's look at what it says in verse 18. 20. And it reads as such, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it to another, to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Why did Christ come? To heal some stuff. When you see that word, set at liberty, it gives a point. Gives the mindset of something being out of place, broken up, out of joint. You ever had a finger that's been out of joint or dislocated? Oftentimes they put it in what? A splint. They kind of set it until it heals well. Sprained ankle usually got some kind of protection, some kind of stabilizer until it heals and you're able to walk on his own. Jesus came for this very purpose. He didn't come so that he could establish an earthly kingdom of material wealth and fame. He came to touch lives. What about us? What about us? Because we're going to have a responsibility when we realize what God has done for us. Another benefit of touching is to let us know what real love feels like. Some people in life The only touch they received was hurtful and harmful. Think about that for a moment. Every time somebody in your life came to touch you, it meant that you were hurt. So no wonder you struggle sometimes when folks now love you and it's hard for you to receive it. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Many folks call this the love chapter, but I want us to notice that God gives us a real definition, a plain definition of what true, real agape love is. Begins at verse number 4. It says, charity. Charity here means love. Suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not our own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I want to concentrate on the first four verses I read. What does love feel like? What does real love feel like? Many of us have never experienced it. Many of us have experienced love that's usually you have to give something back in kind. But true agape love is this. You love somebody for who you are, not because of who they are. Big difference. Big difference. When you're able to love somebody because of who you are and not because of what they are or what they can do for you, or, let me add something to it, or what they did to you. Then you start to experience the love of God. Because we've done so much wrong to God, haven't we? How many times have we fallen out with folks in our lives because they crossed us wrong? One, maybe two times. But how many times have we crossed God wrong? I want you to think about it. We get so upset somebody do us wrong. If we don't get every scoop of ice cream we promised, we're ready to cuss the cashier out. Somebody don't do us right, they're going to get a piece of our mind, and they better be glad they don't get all of it. Jesus truly cares and loves about us. One reason why he touches is so that we can experience what true, real love feels like. That's why he does it. And he's setting an example for us. Benefits of touch. It releases spiritual endorphins. What are endorphins in our bodies? Physical bodies, biological bodies. They are chemicals that react with our brain receptors. And they help to reduce stress. They help us to feel positive. They help us to feel a sense of euphoria, which is kind of built into the word endorphin. Kind of helps us feel better, more positive. One of the things that you find with anybody who's suffering long-term from depression is there's a lack of endorphins. And it happens for many reasons. It could be biological, part hereditary, but oftentimes it's because of hurt in their lives. And sooner or later, your body adapts itself to living with fewer and fewer amount of endorphins in your body. So your state becomes normal. When Christ touches us, our spirit, he releases spiritual endorphins. This is where our joy and peace comes from. This is why the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. You can give it away. This is what James talks about. And even in all our trials, we're able to count it all joy. Because we know that it works patience in us. It releases spiritual endorphins. The touch of the Master by itself makes things better. And also to confirm the fact that God hears us. Psalms 34. Old Testament passage, but you'll see when we get there It's all incorporated in the New Testament, different places. So we know it's there too. Let me get there myself. Psalms 34. We're going to begin at verse 15. Y'all beat me there. I'll be there in a minute. Look at what it says in verse number 15. The Lord, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and deliver them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. God hears you. But if he really hears you, he's got to be in close proximity. Why is that? We serve a God who can hear our thoughts. That's why it says we're going to be judged by every idle word, thought, or deed. He hears our thoughts. That's some things that we don't want to say, that we can't even sometimes utter. That's some hurt that sometimes we experience that is so deep and painful that we can't even put it in words. You may say, Brother Parker, that's never happened to me. All I ask you to do is nothing special. Just keep living. Just keep living. Nothing special. Sooner or later, you're going to experience it. He's close enough to hear our prayers, but he has to be in close proximity to us. So these are all benefits of touch. Touching the Lord also allows him to empathize. There's a difference between sympathy and empathy. Big difference. Sympathy is, poor little child, I know you're going through some stuff. It ain't me. It ain't my problem. That's you. Empathy means you are feeling exactly what that person feels. And guess what? As we as Christians have not gotten to this point, we're in trouble. It's not enough just to pat somebody on the back and say, that's you. Jesus hurts when we hurt. He cries when we cry. You think you're crying by yourself when you're crying in the midnight hour when nobody else knows? Who else is weeping with you? Your Savior. Your Lord. And then he rejoices when we rejoice. That's why he touches us. That's also why he commands us as Christians to do the same thing. Because we're members one of another. And in closing, what should our response be to the touch of the Master? What should it be? It should cause us to reach out and touch those who are dead in sin. Because you know that the only reason you were made alive was because of Jesus and his gospel. We ought to have a burning desire to reach out to those poor in spirit and brokenhearted. Now, poor in spirit doesn't mean about, it's talking about money, but it's talking about those who've almost given up. Just whatever happens. I don't see no other way. I don't feel no other way out of the situation. I'm flat on my back, so to speak. That's why he sends the gospel and gives us the gospel in earthen methods. We touch those who are lonely. It's hard sometimes on folks. We sometimes forget that we ourselves are the only family that we have. We touch those who are unloved in this world. If anybody cares about the person that nobody else loves in our society, it ought to be God's people. It ought to be us. We ought not step over them just like the Good Samaritan and the priest and the Levite who walked on the other side of the road. Just to keep from anybody asking them to help. That's why they did it, because they didn't even want to be bothered. Is that our mindset? It ought not be. And then this last one, Do you realize that you have to touch souls to snatch them out of fires of hell? Do you realize that that's going to be a little bit of heat on your skin too? Do you realize that some of your spiritual hairs on your arm going to be singed too? It's worth it. We be like, nah, not me. But how are we going to do it in this world that's ready for a dying and burning hell if we're not willing to roll up our sleeves and snatch them out with the gospel? That's how we do it. That's our mission. That's what we're supposed to do. So that's why we have to understand how important it is to be touched by the Master. But guess what? Christ is not going to run us down. You know, sometimes we were younger. You're out in the yard playing tag. You know, you got some folks you never catch because they were just too fast or too elusive. You know, you got some folks may not be fast, but they're going to juke you and make you miss. Christ ain't going to run you down. He's saying, I'm here. I'm here. Those folks came to Christ looking for something, and he touched every last one of them. When folks come to you looking for something better, what's your response? When you see folks in the world as sheep without a shepherd, what do we do? When there's somebody hurting just because of being beat up in life, do you care about them? Do you reach out to them? Or maybe not even that. Do you at least pray for them? See, sometimes we forget that we were touched by the Master once. Sometimes we forgot. We forget that we were in a bad place too. Sometimes we forget that we were once caught in the same sin that we condemn others for today. Sometimes we forget that the only reason we're still here is because the Master touched us. What are we willing to do? It's not just enough anymore to just say, I've been touched. But then God says, I touched you. You go touch somebody else. You know what? That is the gospel 101. That's what it means to seek and to save the lost. You've been touched, so now you want others to bring others to his feet. You want to bring others to the foot of the cross. Touched by the Master. He touches us today by the gospel. That's how he touches us. Contrary to what many folks in the world say, Christ ain't never knocked nobody down in the middle of the floor. That don't happen. You must be touched by his words. That's what his love. That's his hands. That's his feet. We're touched by him today when we obey him. And we realize that they are true and all his words are yea. Then we'll open up our hearts to him. He's given us what we must do to be saved. And guess what? He's not going to beat us down, but you got to humble yourself and willing to be touched on his terms for true healing. Because Satan is going to make you think it's okay. He'll make you think you're okay. We do that by hearing the gospel. Believing what we have heard, depending on our sins. Confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God and being baptized for the remission of our sins. This is where the initial touch comes in, according to Scripture, according to Mark 16 and many more. This is the first touch for him to really get close to you, because we serve a holy God. We got to do something with sin in our lives. The problem is many folks want to be touched but don't want to do anything with sin. But see, they forget that we serve a holy God, right? Who cannot live in the presence of sin. Because then he would be going against his very own nature. So we got to do something with sin first. That's obedience to the gospel. And guess what? Even after that, even as Christians, sin causes us a guilty distance. Oftentimes, when we really don't feel God close to us, my question is, who moved? It wasn't him. It wasn't him. Because he's always reaching out to us. So if you feel God is a great distance from you, that means you got to return. It's not him who moves, because he's steadfast. So if you have one desire to put on Christ in baptism, we'll request special prayer. We ask you to please stand as we sing a verse of 554.